I don't know if any of you got up at 3 a.m. this morning to watch the funeral, the papal funeral. I did not. But we do pray for the repose of his soul, continue to pray for the repose of his soul, and for all of the College of Cardinals who will be gathering this week to begin their general congregation, their discussions about the needs of the church and what kind of candidates they want to elect, what candidate they want to elect, and who they all are, to get to know each other. And then we pray for whoever will be elected. So we have the story this Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday, of Doubting Thomas. I love this story. It's so powerful visually and emotionally and theologically. The doubts of Thomas help to heal our doubts. But this Sunday, I'm not going to focus on Thomas. Rather, on the identity of the risen Jesus, what the risen Jesus establishes, and how that affects us. In the book of Revelation, our second reading today, we're told that the voice of the risen Jesus is loud and clear as a trumpet, which is really quite astounding. Because most of the time, we're probably struck rather at how difficult it is to hear the voice of Christ rather than by how loud and clear it is. People commonly complain to me about how hard it is to discern God's voice, not how amazingly simple it is. In Revelation, John hears a trumpet-like voice, but only after he's been caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Most of the time, we're caught up in the world, not in the Spirit. And the world wants us to listen to it and to nothing else. When's the last time you sat in deep silence for more than 30 minutes, just for an example? Sometimes people will tell me how difficult it is to be silent, because the silence is so deafening, almost like a trumpet blast, isn't it? What's it take to be caught up in spirit? To be caught up in spirit is to leave worldly things behind. It was when John had been stripped of everything worldly and exiled to Patmos that he was caught up in the spirit. Are we willing to leave our worldly things behind in order to hear that trumpet-like voice in our lives? And the world of the Spirit isn't empty. John goes on in Revelation to describe what's a world that's filled with angels and signs and singing and a voice like a trumpet and the throne of God himself. John describes this beautiful, transcendent, joy-filled world. The more that we become detached to this world and all the stuff of this world, I think the more ready we are to be caught up in the Spirit. And I can hear some of you saying, I'm not sure I want that. I think I'm afraid of that, being caught up in the Spirit, detaching from this world. But actually, we really, deep down, do desire that, I think. And we have no need to be afraid of that. It's what we were created for. I encourage you to go on a several-day silent retreat, if you've never done that before, and leave behind the cares of this world and open your heart to the kingdom of the Holy Spirit. When John, in Revelation, falls prostrate before Jesus, Jesus tenderly touches him and says those beautiful words, "Do not be afraid," raises him up. In the gospel, the risen Jesus says, "Peace be with you," and he shows them his hands and his side. The word peace here means forgiveness, wholeness, well-being, The 11 had abandoned Jesus, left him to be beaten and tortured and crucified. You can only imagine how full of shame and regret they were. And here the risen Jesus restores their wholeness and well-being, precisely by showing them his crucifixion wounds that are no longer life-taking, but life-giving, transformed by the resurrection. And then he says again, "Peace be with you." And this time, he breathes the Holy Spirit on them, bestowing on the 11 the authority to absolve sins in the sacrament of confession. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. The risen Jesus very intentionally establishes this sacrament because he knows we're sinners. Surprise. There's no surprise there. That we are always in need of his healing and life-giving mercy. This sacrament is another way for us to draw away from this world and closer to the realm of the Holy Spirit. In the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we see the 12 apostles healed and forgiven by Jesus, established and instituted by Jesus in order to continue doing all that he did during his time on earth. Jesus healed, the 12 heal. Jesus taught, the 12 teach. Jesus forgave sins, the 12 forgive sins. Jesus presided over the Last Supper, the 12 preside over the Lord's Supper. Peter becomes Jesus. John becomes Jesus. Philip and Matthew and James become Jesus. Our faith isn't just powerful stories from the past. The whole point of our faith is only secondarily about what Jesus did. Our faith is primarily, first and foremost, about what Jesus is doing today in you, in me, and in the whole church. Do you know that you are Jesus? Do you realize that the person to your left and to your right and in front of you and behind you is Jesus? To realize this and to begin to believe it is to draw away from this gray world and to begin to be caught up in the Spirit. It's to become more and more ready to hear the trumpet-like voice of the risen Christ. You and I are the continuation of the story of salvation. If it was just about Jesus, well, good for him. What about us? But it's Jesus in us. Because of our baptism, the Holy Spirit of Jesus dwells in us, and therefore we no longer belong to this world. Because of the Holy Spirit within you, you are a place of the Spirit that does not belong to this world. We belong to the kingdom of the Holy Spirit. Who are you? You're a Christian, which means you're Jesus in the world today. So here's the homework for the week. Draw away from this world by seeking confession and forgiveness, and by seeking to be caught up in the Spirit, longing to hear the trumpet-like voice of our good and beautiful risen Jesus.